Right then, welcome to the Path series. It's the beginning of the month, so let's do one of these. What I want to talk about today is techno-paganism. Now, this is probably going to be more of a discussion and leave you with a lot of questions which you can go and discover yourself. I find techno-pagan to be absolutely fascinating, but very, very difficult to actually pin down to an actual path, let's get into it let me know what you think. So when it comes to techno-paganism, what is it really? It is the combination of old and new. It is the combination of paganism, which we would consider the old part, and technology, which we may consider the new part. Other terminology that we may use: cyber witch, neuromancer, even psychonaut to some degree. But obviously it depends how we actually interpret these words. Again, it comes back to interpretation. If we start going with the dictionary definitions, we end up with a variety of different ways we can look at this particular thing, being techno-paganism. So let's actually start with some of the definitions. All right, so if we have a look at technology itself, what is technology? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that it is 1A, the practical application of knowledge, especially in a particular area, such as medical technology, or B, a capability given by the practical application of knowledge. 2 would be a manner of accomplishing a task, especially using technical processes, methods, or knowledge. And 3, the specialized aspects of a particular field of endeavor. All right, so if we have actually consider that for a second, technology, we live in an age where computers are coming, or have come into our modern world and our environment, and quite extensively, obviously. Computers are everywhere. They're, our laptops or desktops or tablets or cell phones, practically everything now is a computer. So when we think of technology and cybernetics, we usually associate those directly with computers. But the thing is, technology is more the creation of something to advance the human race. So the wheel would have been a technological advancement. Just to mention, Foolish Fish did a video on Saturday, I think it was, discussing spirituality and technology, which I found very interesting. He goes into this whole idea of iron. We discovered iron maybe 5,000 to 8,000 years ago. And after we discovered iron, we started making tools and weapons and things out of them. But what we also discovered was that particular fairy, the fair folk, they couldn't come anywhere near the iron. They were repelled by it. So this became a protective aspect. But there's that aspect of trying to mix a new technology with something older. And they didn't mix. They didn't mix at all. And then he mentions, technology in aspect of cell phones, laptops, computers and stuff. And raise the question and the point that many of us don't actually dream of computers and cell phones. You just don't find cell phones in our dreams. I've been asking everybody since I watched this video if they remember ever having a dream about their cell phone. So if you have or haven't, just let me know in the comments, because I'd love to know. One person so far has said that they have dreamt of their laptop and their watch. I just find it fascinating. I find it very interesting. It's something I never even considered. But there's this whole aspect of can we combine the old spiritual methods with our new modern technologies? In some regards, yes, they are very similar. In other regards, it's very difficult. I'll get to that just now, if I remember. I'm going all over the place today. This is just one of those topics that just takes you down many, many, many rabbit holes. But coming back to definitions, so we've got technology, all right. Then let's have a look at cybernetics. So cybernetics you may immediately associate with being about computers. Cybernetics is, again, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the science of communication and control theory that is concerned especially with comparative study of automatic control systems, such as the nervous system and brain, and mechanical electrical communication systems. So it's not just about the mechanical electrical communication systems, which we may consider to be computers, but also our own system of how the nervous system communicates with the brain. That's cybernetics. So when we get into cyberspace, we are looking at a space which has to do with communication between systems, right? So that's cybernetics. If we have a look at the etymology of cybernetics, it really comes from the Greek, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong now, kybernetes, or kybernan. Kybernetes means steersman, metaphorically guide or governor, and kybernan means to steer or pilot a ship, direct as a pilot, figuratively to guide, govern. That's the etymology of the word cybernetics. So this is more about guiding, steering, moving around, rather than the communication between systems. So the how things relate to each other and that guiding, that the steering the ship type of thing then comes into nautical or not. Well, not really nautical, but if we have a look at the word psychonaut, psychonaut comes from two words, psycho and naut, which means mind and sailor, right? So we've got this idea of cybernetics possibly becoming the word psycho or psychology, that type of thing, which refers to the mind. And cybernetics being the communication of systems between how systems communicate between each other, so how the mind communicates with the body, for instance, and then naut being the sailor, how the sailor actually navigates through these things. So the psychonaut is very much, it's about exploring altered states of consciousness, and we usually associate psychonaut with people who take shrooms and such things and psychoactive plants and entheogens and such things. But it doesn't really need to be associated with that. It could be anybody who's interested in discovering the mind. So we have all of this terminology, and the way we can interpret them and look at them is fascinating. And all of these words sort of start to come into how we define techno-paganism. Actually, there was another one, neuromancer. Neuro is relating to nerves or the nervous system. So again, we've got this aspect of the nervous system. How does the nervous system communicate with the brain? Cybernetics. So anyway, all of these words, these definitions and such, really fascinating when we actually think about it in relation to techno-paganism. So we've got cyber witch. So cyber witch, you see, this is where things get a bit difficult, because if we look at cybernetics, it's about communication between systems, whereas we've taken the word cyber, cyber of relating to or involving computers or computer networks such as the internet. Okay, so when we get to cyber, we are particularly looking at how computers and computer networks actually would communicate between each other, if we extend that into cybernetics. Cyberspace would be space within the computer systems. Okay, so therefore we can say cyber witch would be a witch who does their witchcraft, their craft within the systems of computers and computer networks, bringing us back again to techno-paganism. All right, so what is this whole techno-paganism thing? What I would like to direct you to are two websites and a book. Well, one book in particular, but I'm going to mention three books. The first website is Technosis, and by Eric Davis. And Eric Davis also wrote a book called Technosis, which is the kind of like, if you're trying to learn about techno-paganism, that's the book you go to. You know, that's the book you start with at least. But there is a particular article on Eric Davis's site called Techno-Pagans, which is absolutely fantastic. It's fascinating. It goes into Mike Pesce's, how he sees techno-paganism. And it was Pesce who actually did the Cyber Salon. I'm just trying to, I think it was in 1998 that this was done. But absolutely brilliant. You know, it was a bunch of guys who, or people who got together and did a whole ritual, pagan ritual, revolving around Salon, but it was all about cybernetics and computers and within cyberspace and stuff like that. Pesce actually created Worldview. I was trying to get a better idea of what Worldview was, but it was some form of browser. So they started off and they had these, the watchtowers themselves, the four watchtowers in the dark directions, were four 486 PCs, which were networked through Ethernet to the internet, and they were connected to this Worldview, running Worldview. So it became this whole 3D studio and virtual space and everything else. And then they did their ritual, like they pulled the gods and the goddesses into that space, and they had symbols like sort of revolving around to represent the elements. Fascinating, absolutely brilliant stuff. I just love it. but yeah, go and have a look and read of this article, Techno-Pagans by Eric Davis. As I said, there's a lot of mention of Mark Pesce, who is very much techno-pagan. But there's also another one which I haven't actually been through myself, which I need to go through. But it's called Punk Magic, and it's a book by Tom Swiss, which looks very interesting. So I'm going to actually give this a read myself, but I'm going to put the link in the description as well. Go and look at that. Very interesting. But you'll get a good, better idea of what techno-paganism is from these actual articles. Now, as I said, this is really going to be more of a give you a discussion, give you questions type of thing where you can go and discover this stuff yourself. Because as I said, it is quite difficult to actually pin down. But if we have a look at you know, how we compare the old to the new type of thing. So if we were to look at that, we have, let's say, the astral space and we have cyberspace. We're to the techno-pagan, the astral space is reborn in cyberspace itself. So we can look at things, a lot of it comes down to terminology actually, how we use particular words, like the internet and the World Wide Web. You know, when we talk about the web that connects everything, magic, it's, you know, that's, we talk about the lines of energy and weird itself that connects all things. And it, for me anyway, for a lot of people, it looks like a spider web. So we've got that comparison. We can even go as far as to say that when we communicate with spirits, there's a lot of old ways of doing it where we actually go through an intermediary spirit. Papa Legba, Hecate is actually one, but your Holy Guardian Angel in the Grimorium Verum, Skirlin. So you've got this intermediary spirit who you call, you go to and you call them, who is very much a crossroads spirit. And then from a crossroads, you then venture down the roads and you meet the various spirits. We can equate that with our Ruta. Our Ruta is the intermediary spirit. It is the point of access between this world and cyberspace. So, you know, you can actually take all of these comparisons and compare them to cybernetics, or cyber space, to techno-paganism, to cyber witchery, you know, comparing that whole otherworldly aspect to the cyberspace. How you incorporate that, how you use that is up to you, and it's something that you can really, really explore with. There is, however, one slight difficulty. You will find that in a lot of, or for a lot of witches, using technology within ritual spaces becomes almost impossible. There's been a lot of cases, and you know, I've had it myself, where I get together with another witch, and all of a sudden, just technology doesn't work. I did an interview once, and we got halfway through the interview and realized that half the equipment had stopped working. It was working when we started. It was all fine, and then nothing recorded, nothing did anything. We had to do the whole thing over again. You know, you'll find that for a lot of witches, that technology, once you start actually working a ritual, once you start raising the energy, technology just completely bombs out. Things explode. It can get to that point where things actually explode. Cell phones stop working. You know, it's crazy. It really is. I did mention this somewhere once, and I got the response of maybe the people in the ritual just don't know what they're doing with the energy. That's got nothing to do with it. When you're raising a crap load of energy, it starts affecting things on the physical level. So, you know, it can get a bit difficult to combine these things sometimes. So got to take that into consideration also. And when we really think about it, when we're talking about paganism, witchcraft, traditional witchcraft, etc., etc., it is very much about connecting with the land. Now, if we consider that from a modern perspective, a lot of people do still live on, you know, they have gardens, or they may live on a plot, or something like that, where they can go out and literally connect with the land, you know, get down on their hands and knees and connect with the earth itself. A lot of people find that very difficult. We may live in apartments in cities, and you know, we don't have an actual garden. We can get a plot. I was going to say pot plant again. I was corrected recently that in South Africa we just call them pot plants because it's a plant in a pot. But apparently, people in the US associate pot plant with marijuana, cannabis. I can't remember the term that I'm supposed to use now. But anyway, I explained that, so I think you know what I mean. A pot plant. So, I mean, you can get those and you can literally touch it, and you can work with it, you can work with the earth, but it's not quite the same as going outside and touching the actual ground. But at the same time, that's become our modern way of living. So even there, we can bring in that connecting with the land in certain ways. You know, you may walk down a paved street and there's a plant that's popping through the pavement. That's nature. You know, but everything that is made, the buildings, everything that makes up the buildings is products, byproducts of nature. You know, our walls are nature. Mine are made of brick. Yours may be made of wood. You know, but it's still nature at the end of the day. So we can connect with the land in different ways, in different aspects. We just have to kind of adjust and adapt for where we find ourselves. I remember one time ago when I was in college, one of the courses I had to do was photography. And we were given the assignment to do some landscape photography, modern landscape photography. And it kind of confused a lot of people, you know, because when we think of landscapes, we think of rolling fields and meadows and mountains and what have you. But when we think of the modern landscape, it's about buildings, about streets. That's our landscape now, and it can be just as beautiful as any rolling meadows if it's looked at properly. And this was the assignment, to actually go out and look at a landscape and find a modern landscape and view it from a particular angle and you know, make it beautiful, find the beauty in it. So when we are then extending that into cyberspace, that becomes our new landscape. You know, it is part of our world now. There's no way we can get around it, no way we can remove it. It's here. It's just, you just can't get rid of it. Which brings me to AI, actually. And I know this is kind of a difficult topic, because AI is being blamed for a lot of things, for plagiarism and stealing people's art and things like that. And I think the term, or the way we actually voice this, should be slightly changed. It's not AI itself, it's the people using it. It's always the people that use the tools. You know, we're always saying that a sword is a double, you know, talking about double-edged sword. We can use it for something creative, and we can use it for something destructive. But it's the person using it. It's always the person using the tool that determines how it's used and the result that they get. AI can be used for many, many good things if it's put into that usage. But what's happening is people are putting in prompts to create artwork and stuff. The people who created that technology created it in a particular way. It's not the technology itself, it's the people who are creating it, people who are doing it. And I think what we can do, AI is not going to go away. Let's face it. I mean, it's like when the car was invented. People were up in arms because you cannot travel that fast. You will die if you go over a certain speed. But we have cars now that go faster than those that were first invented. And nobody complains about that. There's loads of things. Throughout ages, you know, we have all these things, all these new technologies that have been created that people have gone crazy about and said it's going to bring down the world, it's going to destroy us, etc., etc. But we still use them nowadays because they just never went away, and they never will go away. And I think AI is the same thing. It's not going to go away. So I think instead of trying to remove AI, we try to re-educate people in how to actually use it. You know, and we create systems that are not plagiarizing and copywriting and ripping people off. And then we can start using things like the tool called AI for something different, for something good. You know, how can we incorporate AI into bettering our witchcraft, our magic, our spiritual practices? If we can use the computers and cyberspace itself to better our own practice, then can we incorporate AI to improve that also, to help, to aid us? Can we use AI in the same fashion we may use servitors and familiars as fetchers to go fetch information? I mean, coming back to the whole idea of your router is your intermediary spirit that links this world to the other world, to cyberspace. You know, we can look at a search engine, Google and Bing, as being Lucifers. They are knowledge bringers. They go and fetch knowledge for us. So can we create AI or use AI to become a servitor or familiar? How can we use these technologies for our magic? But at the same time, not use them in a negative way, like everybody else seems to be doing, creating books that they don't even aren't even properly researched, and just, you know, putting them out there because it makes money, and not caring what actually happens. That's just a person that is using a tool in a bad way. So let's start using the tool in a good way and change all of that, instead of just outright rejecting it. And hopefully then we can actually overcome all this bad usage. But anyway, let me get off my little pedestal on that regard. So anyway, techno-paganism. There is so much that can be discovered, and I don't think it's been explored to its I don't think it's been explored very much at all. It kind of became a big thing in the 90s. You know, a lot of people were talking about doing techno-paganism. If you've ever watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you may need to rewatch it, because it may have been a long time since you last watched it, because it's an old series. But there was one of the teachers in there, I forget her name now, but her and Giles had a bit of a thing. She was a techno-pagan, and she was using the computer to do rituals and spells and connect with other pagans around the world through the internet or Usenet. And, you know, so it became sort of a big thing in the 90s, but that's because computers were fairly new, you know, home computers at least, were fairly new at that stage, and the personal computer was just coming in. It was this big thing, it was a fad, it was like, you know, this is fantastic, this is amazing, so let's see how we can incorporate all this stuff into all the stuff we used to know. And, you know, Giles the fuddy-duddy kind of rejected it because he liked his books. It's exactly what we're seeing now. But, it, you know, it became quite a big thing in the 90s and early 2000s. There was actually another book. There's a fiction book called Neuromancer. Let me just find the book quickly. There was another one I picked up, which I haven't read yet. But you might want to take a read. I will put all the links in the description. Links to the website, links to the books, all going to be in the description. So there's a book which a lot of techno-paganism is actually based on, by William Gibson. And the other book is The Cyber Spellbook, Magic in the Virtual World, by Sirona Knight and Patricia Telesco. I remember Patricia Telesco being very sort of neo-Wiccan, neo-pagan, so expect that. It's probably just going to be just your normal discussion of neo-paganism that's been implanted into cyberspace talk and technology and things like that. But yeah, go and have a look at those books, definitely Neuromancer. Another one you might actually want to have a look at, because in 1966, might have the year wrong, but it was 1960s, Oberon Zell created the Church of All Worlds, which was an attempt, he's still doing it nowadays actually, still going, probably one of the oldest or longest running pagan churches. In fact, they were the first ones to actually use the term pagan, apparently. Oberon Zell created Church of All Worlds, and most of it was based on Martian religion that came out of Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein, let me just double check. Yes, Robert A. Heinlein. Brilliant book. I actually love that book. If you've probably heard people use the term grok, to understand, do you grok this? That came out of that book. So there's a lot of sci-fi, there's a lot of inclusion of sci-fi in techno-paganism. So if you are a sci-fi buff, or even a gamer, I mean, look at gaming nowadays. Gaming, is practically magic. I mean, you go and have a look for, try and do some research on a demon, for instance, or some particular magic from the grimoires, and you're usually going to come up against something within gaming. So gaming and sci-fi are two very large areas within techno-paganism. I do love this topic of techno-paganism myself. I would love to explore it more. I would actually love to go into virtual reality, but to try and get a headset is bloody expensive unless somebody wants to buy one for me and send it to me. I'll have a look into it. But what I'd actually love to do is start a virtual reality coven and meet in cyberspace in actual virtual reality, you know, create a temple a temple space, or create like a forest or something in virtual reality and actually meet there and do rituals. That would be fantastic. That would be brilliant. But anyway, I'm going to leave this one here today because I am going to start rambling again. But really, this is something which I find fascinating. You might find fascinating. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But if you do, go and explore some more, because there's so many things we can actually compare in this modern technological cyberspace computerized world that we can, bring comparison to the old way of looking at the landscape. Implanting the astral realm into cyberspace itself. Go and have a look at those articles, go and have a read of the books, and let me know what you think. And I'll see you next time for more On the Path series. Cheers for now. Bye bye.